Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Welcome into the show, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday week. Hope everyone's safe. Hope everyone's happy. For today's episode, I want to start on the positive things. Because if we all know what's going on with our holidays right now, we all know that most of our Chicago sports teams aren't very good right now. But there is one team, yes, I say through the blizzard of madness that is Chicago sports, that is a garbage can right now, there is one team that's actually attempting to make the playoffs. And that team is the Chicago Cubs. Now, before we do a victory lap for them, I am going to say I'm going to have some reservations here because some of these moves that they've made this week, there are other moves that need to happen to have my optimism come to fruition with the Chicago Cubs team. But let's start with the good news, right? The Chicago Cubs acquired Kyle Tucker this last week. They gave up a couple of prospects and Cam Smith. They gave up Hayden Wisniewski and they gave up Isak Paredes. Now, for those of you tuning into Sports Talk Chicago for the first time, welcome. If you're coming back from previous episodes, welcome back. Because I've said on this show before that I believe heading into this offseason, Chicago Cubs had three players, and one of them could not be on the roster next year, and maybe even possibly two of them. And I named them as such, Michael Busch, Nico Hoerner, and Isak Paredes. We couldn't have those same three players come back and play in this offense. Isak Paredes is now the one out the door. I did not see it coming, though, that the Houston Astros we're going to get rid of one of the linchpins in their offense who isn't even up for contract yet in Kyle Tucker. They've let Carlos Correa walk. They let George Springer walk, and they're about to let Alex Bregman walk. But Kyle Tucker, that was the one guy they were supposed to hang on to, and now he's a Chicago Cub. For those of you who aren't familiar with Kyle Tucker, I don't blame you. He's got kind of a boring name. Let's be honest here. He doesn't have a cool name like a Ronald Acuna, a Juan Soto, Bryce Harper. It's just Kyle Tucker. But if you look across all different metrics across baseball, Kyle Tucker is a top 8, top 10 hitter in Major League Baseball. I'm going to repeat that. Not just the National League. Kyle Tucker is a top 8, top 10 player hitter in baseball. He's won a gold glove. He hits left-handed. Hits for slug, hit 23 home runs in only 87 games last year after he missed the rest of the season with what turned into a fractured shin. Not a math whiz, but that's on pace for over 40 home runs. So Kyle Tucker is an immediate upgrade for this offense. Kyle Tucker is the type of hitter that the Chicago Cubs have been missing. I almost said Bears. Bears don't have any of these players. The Cubs are actually trying. So back on point. Kyle Tucker is the star power, the bankability that I've been railing against Jed Hoyer for over the last several months. And he went out and he did it. Good for him. Now, a lot of people are clutching their pearls that we got rid of Cam Smith. Cam Smith is a player that they drafted in last year's draft. Flew through the ranks from single A to regular A to double A. At one point, hit 6 home runs in 6 games. A lot of people think he's got a lot of potential and he's got a high ceiling. I will tell you, for diehard Chicago Cubs fans, you know who else had a high potential and high ceiling? Josh Vitters, Kevin Ori, Felix Pie, Corey Patterson. I mean, the list goes on. We don't know what Cam Smith is going to be, but we are darn sure what Kyle Tucker is going to be. And he is the new force in the middle of the lineup. He's a good player. He immediately slots into that two-hole and should be counted on to become the type of person that hits about 30 home runs and drives in 90 to 100 runs. We do not have that player on our team at this time. He's also the type of player that will have an OPS over 850. We needed more players with over 800 OPS. We got it in Kyle Tucker. If I can give you a Chicago analogy, Kyle Tucker is basically prime Anthony Rizzo. So this is good news. In other news, Cody Bellinger, Belly Bombs, is now going to be hitting those bombs for the Bronx Bombers, traded to the New York Yankees. What did we get in return? Not much. A 30-year-old middle reliever that hopefully will be able to come in, provide maybe some innings, eat up some bullets for this Cubs team this year. Not a lot of high expectation. I think the key to this move was that Cody Bellinger was owed $27.5 million this year, owed $27.5 million the next year if he decided to opt in. The Cubs wanted out of that contract. And by trading him to the Yankees are taking on almost all of that deal. And the Chicago Cubs are only eating $5 million. 2.5 this year, 2.5 next year. So the Cubs got out of it. Congratulations. Cody Bellinger, good baseball player. But at the end of the day, is he worth $27.5 million? And that's where the rubber meets the road there. Now, look, for my own mental health, and I think for yours too because it's the holiday season, every single week I come on here and get in front of this microphone, I can easily blow a gasket. I could easily blow a gasket talking about how the Cubs don't spend enough money. Or they take it right up to the point of the luxury tax, but don't go over the edge like some of these other teams that are darn serious about winning World Series. The Cubs take it right up to that competitive marker, which is why you see 83 wins the last two seasons. It's good, but it's not good enough. I've been critical of Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts because of that. So I could easily say, man, they should have kept Cody Bellinger and paired him with Kyle Tucker, do it for a season, have a payroll that goes over the luxury tax, let's see what happens. And I'm in agreement with you if you're upset about that. I'm just not going to blow a gasket over it just yet because there is an opportunity now for Jed Hoyer to go out there and take the money that's coming off the books from Cody Bellinger and reinvest it onto the roster in positive ways. And you're hoping addition by subtraction, they use that money in other areas of the baseball team. Chicago Cubs need a closer? Yes, they do. Kyle Finnegan closed over 30 plus games for the Washington Nationals last year. I don't think he's a surefire bet, but you could probably get him on a reasonable deal. You can find a closer right now if you wanted to. Maybe you need a little bit more starting pitching. Or maybe more importantly, you need more bankable starting pitching in your rotation. Now you have the money or the flexibility to either go out there through a trade, which has been rumored. Chicago Cubs might not be done. And that's why I'm holding off on saying they should have kept Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker. I want to see what they do with that money and that flexibility first before I blow that gasket. If they don't do anything and they walk into spring training a little bit lighter in the purse strings, gasket blown. I promise you, it'll happen. We'll all have fun. We'll see a little vein in my forehead just go pop, and that will be me losing it. If they don't reinvest some of the money that they're getting back from Cody Bellinger back into this roster. Kyle Tucker's making $18 million a year. Cody Bellinger making $27.5 million. There's the difference. Now, some of the names that they've talked about in trade rumors, I like, and some of them I'm a little skeptical on. You know, the first one, the pie in the sky, I think, is starting pitcher George Kirby from the Seattle Mariners. Now, this guy is a front-of-the-rotation guy. Him and Justin Steele immediately become 1A, 1B in the rotation, and all of a sudden, Shota Imanaga is one of the strongest number threes of any rotation in the National League. The problem with George Kirby is it might also take Nico Horner, but it'll probably take some of our best prospects, if not the best ones, the Owen Caseys of the world. You have full intention now, because Isak Paredes is gone, that Matt Shaw will come up as a rookie and play some at third base, and hopefully he takes the job and runs with it. But getting a guy like George Kirby, it is going to hurt. The other one, same team, Seattle Mariners, is Luis Castillo, 32 years old. Now, Luis Castillo is a very good pitcher. And he's the type of guy, honestly, if you want to talk about building a team for the playoffs, Luis Castillo is a great person to have in your rotation. He can easily take the ball in a playoff game and give you some quality innings. He's the type of guy also that can give you six, seven, eight innings in the middle of June and give your bullpen a break. Is it a long-term fix for the Chicago Cubs? No. But at the same time, I think they're trying to make the playoffs. And I think Jed's trying to save his job, as he rightfully should. And I'm excited about it. A little pressure means maybe a little better baseball here in Chicago. I'm all for that. The other one, besides Luis Castillo and George Kirby, is Jesus Luzardo on the Miami Marlins. Now, this is a guy who, if you follow the Cubs' trades the last couple of years, Jed Hoyer's been pining after this guy for quite some time. He's 26 years old, left-hander, got a great K rate, strikes out guys, and is a guy that, again, is a bit more in the category for Jed of playing on the margins of outperforming expectation. Only makes $5.5 million next year and has arbitration control for the next two. So this is where you can get critical with Tom and Jed is, look, Tom isn't going to spend the money. So now Jed has to maneuver or even pick players that, sure, are talented, but are they the number one players that he wants? Or do they more fit a financial model that Tom wants to execute? So I get it. Jed is trying to be creative, and I want to give him all the credit in the world for that. But Jesus Luzardo last year was hurt for most of the year and has had only really one effective year in the major leagues. And Miami Marlins are going to want some significant prospect capital in return to have the rights of Luzardo move over to the Cubs. That one's also going to hurt. So I think that one's a little bit more of a gamble. I mean, sure, it's going to look great when they do the books and their payroll is going to be a little bit tidier because you have Jesus Luzardo hopefully outperforming his $5.5 million and pitching more like a $10 to $14 million player. Good for you, Jed. But there carries a little bit more risk if you were to, say, go after a guy like a Luis Castillo or even if you were to dip into the free agent market. I would probably rather have Jack Flaherty right now than a Jesus Luzardo, but the problem is Jack Flaherty is going to want $25 million a year. And I think we're all under the reality that the Chicago Cubs are interested in doing that at this time or maybe at any time. Many any time ever. So the part about it that's exciting is Kyle Tucker's on the Chicago Cubs. Kyle Tucker is basically prime Anthony Rizzo. Kyle Tucker is going to hit 30 home runs, if healthy, drive in 100 runs, by far be the best player in the lineup, and be a legitimate star that the Chicago Cubs have been lacking over the last several years. And the hope is now that they make a couple of other moves to their bullpen, to their starting rotation, maybe sign a veteran third baseman to pair with Matt Shaw to begin the season. And then I think the Chicago Cubs have a really good shot at competing in a National League. And also, maybe not for the National League in general, but for at least the National League Central for the division that gets you in the playoffs and gives you a shot. I mean, we've heard this story before, but the Milwaukee Brewers just traded their closer and they just let their best player, shortstop Willy Adames, walk out the door of the San Francisco Giants. Nobody reloads like the Milwaukee Brewers. But again, one of these years their luck has to run out. At least that's what Jed Hoyer is hoping. If you look in St. Louis right now, their veteran stalwarts like Paul Goldschmidt, they're moving on from him. They're trying to trade Nolan Arenado right now. They're trying to reload. They're not ready to compete. Pittsburgh Pirates, excellent starting rotation. Maybe a little bit frisky this year, but aren't necessarily going to be the team that you're going to be hardcore competing with. And then the Cincinnati Reds, they're going to be a good baseball team. But the Chicago Cubs, with a couple more moves, are going to shoot right up to those ranks. Vegas even says so themselves. If you look at Caesars Sportsbook, after the Kyle Tucker trade, the win expectancy for the Chicago Cubs has gone up to 86.5. It started at 83.5 before Kyle Tucker got there. They won 83 games last year. They think, according to also Kyle Tucker's WAR, wins above replacement, which is in the 4-5 category every single year, that he is worth those 3 or 4 wins. Can they make a couple more acquisitions from the closer spot, from the starting rotation, to get another win or two, to get up to that 88-89 mark, and then boom, baby, you're in the playoffs. Before we get over to Jed, I also want to kind of walk us through what we think the lineup could be. And I know we want to get excited about Kyle Tucker, but unfortunately, some of the questions still remain about this offensive lineup irrespective of whether it's Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger out there. So in my opinion right now, if it was opening day, look, I love Nico Horner as a leadoff man. I think he's a great spark. I think he's the type of guy that you want at the top of your lineup, and he can get from first to third really quickly. It's all good. It's all great. But I am going to say as of right now, and I'm willing to change my mind, that if I was to construct the Cubs lineup today, I would have Ian Happ leading off. Ian Happ, veteran, knows how to work a count, can work a walk. I need a guy with a high on-base percentage no matter what happens. Not so much concerned with speed, more concerned with on-base percentage because my number two hitter now is Kyle Tucker. Again, one of the 8 to 10 best hitters in the game today. A left-handed force who's going to slug over 500 and hopefully hit over 30 home runs and drive in 100 runs for you. So I have Ian Happ leading off. I have Kyle Tucker hitting second. Number three, I still have Seiya Suzuki. A lot of people are saying, where is Seiya going to play? He's going to probably have to DH more than he has ever before in his Cubs uniform career. Word on the street from his agent is that Seiya Suzuki isn't jazzed about DHing as much and wants to play the field. Well, unfortunately, Seiya Suzuki's made some mistakes out in right field. And he hasn't been the type of right fielder the Cubs were hoping or expecting to get when they signed him. And until his play improves, or someone else heads out of town, Seiya's not going to get a lot of opportunities to play in right field. Kyle Tucker is a Gold Glove playing right fielder. We think Pete Armstrong is going to be a Gold Glove center fielder, and Ian Happ is a multiple-time Gold Glove winner in left. No spot for you, Seiya. Do what's best for the team, DH. I have him hitting three, and hopefully DHing a little bit will keep him a little bit healthier, and maybe we can actually get a full sample size of 140 to 155-ish games from Seiya Suzuki, and we can see what we have there, because we are going to have to make a decision on him too as well. I have him hitting number three. At this moment right now, I think our cleanup hitter probably is Michael Busch. Now, typical cleanup hitter? Absolutely not. But the guy can also get on base, and he had shown flashes of power in spurts. He was a little streaky last year. I'm not the biggest Michael Busch fan, but I do have to give him a lot of credit. That Michael Busch, as a rookie, came up, hit well, didn't hit well again, hit another slump, and then came back and bounced back and finished solid. I like the resiliency from a young hitter. Sometimes when you get into these slumps, it's hard to get out of them. In this case, Michael Busch multiple times got out of those slumps and corrected himself. And I think that's a lot. That's a real credit to him. He's going to be 27 years old, and let's see if he takes the next step. As of right now, I have him hitting as the number four hitter in the lineup. So this is where it starts getting a little strange. And this is where I know as Cubs fans, we want to be really excited about Kyle Tucker coming over as a new member of the Chicago Cubs, but they also have to remember that some of the problems with this lineup last year still exist. And the question is, where does Dansby Swanson hit? Where does Miguel Amaya hit? And where does Pete Crow Armstrong hit in this mix? And there were times last year where those three were basically automatic outs. Automatic. In the second half of our lineup, when they talk about a lineup being long, our lineup was short, to say the least. So as of right now, I'll be honest with you, my number five hitter is probably Nico Horner. I know we're excited about Kyle Tucker, but man, that is not ideal. I will say it like that. Because number six, I have Dansby Swanson. Number seven, I have Matt Shaw. I think Matt Shaw is going to get the job, will get an opportunity, as he deserves one, to come up and stay up with the team and hopefully provide an impact. But I'm hitting him no higher than seventh. Eighth, I'm hitting Miguel Amaya. And ninth, I'm hitting Pete Armstrong to hopefully kind of turn that lineup over and give Ian Happ some opportunities where if Pete Armstrong hits a double or hits a single, steals second, gets a triple, Ian Happ can knock him in right away and the lineup rolls over a little bit quicker there. So that's my 1-9 with the Chicago Cubs right now. I know we're excited about Kyle Tucker, but keep in mind, and I know I'm saying this in December, so you don't have to bookmark it. I promise you, I will probably say it again. I'm a little worried still about the second half of this lineup. Some of these guys need to stabilize, take a step forward. Because the way some of them struggled last year, there were easily three huge outs in that lineup in the second half. And it was hard for the Cubs to score runs. And I'm curious to see how that all works out moving forward. My final one on all this is I just want to talk about Jed Hoyer for a little bit here. It's clear that Jed's job is on the line. And I don't mean to sound crass, but as a fan, I almost prefer this version of Jed. I enjoy the version of Jed that built the farm system back up, made some solid draft choices, some good trades. The Cubs currently have 7 players in the top 100 of 100 prospects in baseball right now. That's good news. Was I excited when he traded everyone on the Cubby core? No, I'm not, and I'm still not to this day. For whatever reason, non-tendering Kyle Schwarber and not figuring out a way to keep Anthony Rizzo around, it's never going to sit right with me. It's never going to make a ton of sense. Chris Bryant and Baez, of course, everyone points to the contracts and the production. That makes a ton of sense. Can't wag my finger at that. And honestly, I can say that I'm wrong, where Jed Hoyer did the right thing by moving on from those two players. But it's felt like the last couple of years, playing a little bit of this game of, well, when we're ready, I promise you we're going to strike. And for me, winning 83 games 2 years in a row, I started asking myself the questions, are the Chicago Cubs actually really serious about competing for another World Series? Or are they just going to try and get you close and hope that a couple of games bounce their way and they find themselves in the playoffs? And then who knows what happens after that? It's a 50-50 toss-up. But at least they can say that they made it to the playoffs when they sell it back to the fan base. And is that a little bit of the game that's being run there on Clark and Addison? But heading into this offseason, you can already tell that it isn't quite business as usual for the Chicago Cubs. Because it seems like, and this is true, Jed does not have a contract with the Chicago Cubs after this next year. And it feels like that he's being put into a very peculiar box of your job is on the line, but I'm not giving you a blank checkbook to go out there and fix and keep your job. You need to get creative and you need to get innovative. And that's where the Kyle Tucker trade comes into play. And I think that's also where the Cody Bellinger trade had to take place after that. And here's where it gets really interesting is what's next and what does it look like for the Chicago Cubs? And if you're Jed Hoyer, are you going out and getting talent certain? Are you getting cost certainty with your talent? Are you going to continue to get that bankability that you're getting with Kyle Tucker? Or are you just going to try and continue to play on the margins and hope that they outperform expectations? How much does you keeping your job and creating the certainty in that, how much does that mean to you? And how much can you do it within the constraints and the complications that probably is the payroll because they can't go over the luxury tax with Tom Ricketts? It's an interesting thing. And honestly, to this point, that's why I have to applaud the Kyle Tucker move, is this is actually a really creative, innovative way to get the Chicago Cubs better while also making Tom happy as he briefly slashes the payroll and then hopefully convinces Tom to increase the payroll again so this team can get a little bit better. And if you're the Chicago Cubs, you gave a manager $40 million. If that doesn't say we're going to start going for it, what does? Well, what are we waiting for? And are we ever going to play in those deep water pools? I know a lot of people are saying, well, you trade for Kyle Tucker, he'll be gone in a year. That's very true because Kyle Tucker is probably going to fetch somewhere between $350 to $400 million on his next contract. Chicago Cubs' highest contract ever handed out is $185. So you'd have to double that and then give that to one player. Is that going to happen? I'm not so sure. But at least getting him in the building, in Wrigley Field, winning some games next year, it can certainly buy Jed some time. It can also maybe soften some of the allowances Kyle Tucker may be willing to make when it comes to his extension. And we're not talking dollars here. We're talking opt-outs, other ways that you can move money around a little bit to help the Chicago Cubs and also make Kyle Tucker happy. I mean, sign with us now. In 3 years, you want an opt-out? You want to go back into the market and sign one more huge contract, a bigger bite at the apple that pays you through 36, 37, 38? Let's go for it. But if you're the Cubs, you're saying, I'm not going over 8 years on your deal. there's different ways to go about it. I'm just curious to see how Jed maneuvers all of this. Because if he plays his cards right, Chicago Cubs win games next year. They make the playoffs. Everybody's happy. He keeps his job. Even if Kyle Tucker leaves, he has an Owen Casey coming in, or he has money coming off the books to then go out and spend. I'm not going to say Vladimir Guerrero because that would be just silly, Cubs fans. But he can at least keep the train moving and stay nimble and pivot and remake this roster, unfortunately, on the fly, because that's what's going to take with ownership to compete and possibly be a team actually in Chicago worth rooting for, a team that actually in Chicago is trying to win and make the playoffs. What a novel concept.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.